just be able to continue to, as your pastoral team, engage with you guys in this process. So if you have questions or concerns, please understand, come and talk with us. We're not, Mike and Jeremy and I, we're not like looking at our roles as your pastors as, well, we're just setting the agenda and you're coming along or you're not. We're here to say, this is what we really believe God is leading us to do. And we want to come alongside of you guys and in a sense, be the body of Christ, be a part of the church, which your voice, your input into that is really important. And I believe often some of the things that we see in Scripture is that the church is also often acts as part of the voice of God in direction. So that's really important. So with that, let me go ahead and I'm going to pray. Mike, there might be a slight ring in the highs on this one, but we'll just kind of go from here. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the people that are able to be with us that call the Grove Church home. God, there's a lot of things that we're kind of facing, and in a lot of ways we've seen your provision, your goodness, and your grace to us. We're coming up on 5 years in this building, and that's crazy to think about. And yet it's just a testimony of your grace and your goodness to us. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to continue to be faithful to you. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, who makes it all possible. Amen. All right. So a couple of things, just quick updates on you guys. Man, I feel like a comedian. I'm going to pull this up for a little bit there. So a couple of things just to keep you guys in the loop. How many of you guys have noticed the sign on the back corner of the building that says, "Know anyone struggling with addiction?" Any of you guys? Yes, 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 handful? Okay, great. You guys know that for a couple of years now, we've hosted a ministry called Clean and Sober Through Christ, right? There's a group, and I'll say Paul because Paul's, like already said, I can say him. Paul's one of the guys that helps facilitate that. There's a group of people that have started attending the Grove that originally connected with us through this recovery ministry. One of the things that we started talking about and praying about a couple of months ago was, you know, it feels like most of the leadership for Clean and Sober was worshiping with us at the Grove. And there was a ministry that we were hosting, their leadership was here, and we were like, you know, it feels kind of like we're disconnected, but we're still journeying the same way. And so what we said is we felt like, you know, let's approach them and say, what would you guys think if Clean and Sober Through Christ became a ministry of the Grove? We're fine to continue as is if that's where you guys really feel like God has led you, but we feel like we could add some more pastoral leadership and investment in this ministry because it's something that our community needs, but you guys are the leadership of it, and we don't have that experience or the ability to be a part of that story, and so we feel like it would be a really good pair for us to not just be dating each other in the same building, but actually, you know, let's get married. Over the course of a couple of conversations, the leadership of Clean and Sober Through Christ voted unanimously to become a ministry of the Grove Church. And so this is really important for us because in case you haven't noticed, in Scranton, there is a huge drug problem. We are a culture here that is known for addiction issues with alcohol and drugs. And so we feel like this is a real tremendous opportunity for us to then have a voice in the community that's glorifying Jesus Christ, that's focused on Christ, and also is going to help support people that are trying to deal with living with addiction. And so this is a celebration for us that ministry is continuing to grow. It's now a part of the Grove. So if you know anybody that is living with addiction or finds up struggling with it, or if that's you at times, then this is a safe place for you to come on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7. They do a Bible study, and then from 7 to 8, it's actually the recovery meeting. And so this group is continuing to grow. There's a lot of really good things that are happening there. That's kind of one of those things. It's a celebration. How many of you guys have seen these cards? Yeah? Okay, there's a hand. All right, yeah. All right, good, good. All right. Yeah, because Jesus changes lives. It's awesome. All right. How many of you guys have seen these cards out here on the bulletin? Okay, handful of you have. All right. This is a card that we've developed that Jeremy and Mike and I kicked around some ideas, and then Jeremy did a masterful job of taking those ideas and putting them into a visual representation. Most of the cards that we've handed out in our community are tied to a very specific event. like a block party or a series or something like that. These cards are tied to the idea of why not go to church? And on the front, you'll see all of the excuses that we've heard, everything from it's not relevant to life, I tried it, it didn't work, it's boring, it's naive, there are a bunch of political wackos, I've got better things to do on a Sunday morning. You can go through all of the things that are here, and there are things that I've interacted with people and they've said. And then the back on this, it just says, we get it, those things annoy us too, so let's just get past it. And then it's an invitation for people to say, if you've never been a part of a church that or experienced church where you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to have all of your stuff together, you don't have to have all the answers, but you can be a part of a community of people that are trying to figure out what it is to love Jesus, then why not try the Grove? So this is an invitation, it's a call to action that says, hey, let's do this. Now the great thing about this card is, through our network of churches that kind of have helped support us through our Stadia network, Grace Fellowship in Tunkhannock has paid for this. So we didn't pay for this at all. They helped us purchase 25,000 of these cards, okay? And over the course of the coming year, we're going to strategically be handing these out in specific neighborhoods, in and around the church, so that we can continue to put at least the potential for people to hear about the Grove and understand who we're about, meaning Jesus, in their hands. And so this is a real good example for you to realize that it's not just us at the Grove that are making things happen here. There are other churches that believe in what God is doing through this body here, and they're putting hundreds and thousands of dollars into what we're trying to do. And that's an encouragement to me, because when we started out, it was a handful of families that felt like maybe God's got something for us to do here. And over the course of what will be 5 years this coming August, God has not just left us in isolation, but he's brought a group of churches around us that God is using. And so if you see these and you're like, hey, you know what, maybe I want to take a couple of these, feel free. We've got plenty, all right? But also understand, start praying about this, because these are going to be things. We've had people show up that got these cards on their doors and had them on their refrigerator for a year when we've handed out cards about the Grove before they've shown up. We have families. Actually, do you guys mind? I mean, do you guys mind if I mention? All right. So the Gonzalez family actually showed up because a friend got one of the cards and mentioned it to Lily, right? And they showed up for breakfast at the Grove, which was kind of a scary thing to show up for your first Sunday. But they're here, and in a lot of ways, we've seen a lot of good results from these types of cards. And it's not effective in a lot of places around the country, but we've seen a good response from this, of people that will at least come and check out what's going on. So those are a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. Before we get into a couple of other issues, there are things, items, opportunities, I want to have Pastor Jeremy come up, because often we'll talk about finances. And we don't do it a lot, okay? But in a family meeting, it's one of those times where we feel like it's really actually appropriate. And so Jared's going to give you guys an update.
Sounds good. This is always the part of this meeting that not everybody likes to hear about, or maybe they do want to hear about. And so I'm going to back it up just a little bit here. Every year, we always set a budget for the church. And this year, as we were going through the last fall, we had looked at having Mike coming on staff, and that was really important for the health of the church, and it was really exciting, but it was also one of those times where we were like, hey, can we really support having two pastors on staff? And one of the things that we decided to do is we brought Mike on in August, and going through the fall, looking at this year's budget, we actually took on a budget that we felt that was just a little bit of a stretch, just so we could, you know, take a look at the new things and the things that are happening and what we wanted to be able to do. And one of the things is to be able to keep Mike on for longer than the 6 months or the 8 months that we thought that we would be able to. So far, what we've been able to do is, as you can see, Mike is still on staff, and we're heading on to almost a full year, and that's just awesome. So, Mike, would you mind bringing that slide up? So this is where we stand for almost the full 6 months of this year. As you can see, we set our budget around $113,155. And so far this year, we're at about $46,440.60. We have spent $38,662.40. And we have a little bit of a surplus, but throughout the year, we always have those bills and things that show up that were unexpected. So that kind of starts to even out throughout the year. So right now, the needed budget to date is around $50,542.57. So as you can see, we're just a little bit behind of what we were looking at for the full year, but this was one of those stretch budgets that we were looking at. So it's one of those things where we're excited because we're in a position where we're able to keep Mike and Scott on staff and to also move forward with some of the endeavors that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in this meeting.
Come here. In case you guys don't know, Jeremy is not the guy that's up here very often. He's not the guy that is teaching on a regular basis. He's playing in the worship team. But a lot of what happens on a regular basis here at the Grove, our ability to stay out of jail, our ability to be in compliance with the laws, the financial things, but also just managing the resources God has allowed us to have here. He has done a really great job in serving you and the Lord. For us to be able to kind of to look at things and go, well, what's the patterns? What does it look like? What's happened over the last couple of years? And then establishing budgets and operating things according to that. He's done this with skill in a way that I just from one of your pastors, the Grove would not be where it's at today without the service, the skillful service that Jeremy has brought. And I just want to acknowledge that to our family because we don't necessarily acknowledge that. And to look at this and to go, wow, God has been so faithful to really pull us within a percentage of what's going on for a very stretching budget for us. I'm just really grateful for that. And I want to say thank you, Jeremy, because this has been a reflection of your hard work and your not overstretching us, but putting us in a place where we have to look at God and say, God, are you going to provide for this? And then operating with what God has provided. And so I just want to say thank you, because Jeremy works a full-time job outside of the Grove, really doesn't see any compensation for how he has served us for over 5 years. And you've been a great friend and somebody that I trust, to have the heart of God and make sure that things are on course. And so when you see Jeremy, make sure you give him a hug, all right? He's got a wife who is at home with two little boys, and one of them's a relative newborn. There's a lot of things on his plate, and yet he really feels like God has just called him to be a part of what we're doing here, and I'm grateful for it. So thank you, all right? Thank you. Couple of things. One of those unexpected things, all right? And we're going to I'll hit a couple of those. One of those unexpected budget issues that tends to come up. This last, about two, three weeks ago, we noticed that there were some ants downstairs in the women's restroom. But these ants were different. they had wings and really short bodies. And it turns out we have a small little congregation of termites that have met downstairs. And so we've been getting some quotes on trying to get that treated and taken care of. And one of the things that we're going to have to do in order to try and save some money is we've got to rip walls down in the women's restroom and possibly in the men's restroom. Now, again, this is one of those things where you sit back and you go, man, I don't want to spend this money. But this is one of the things where I look back and go, wow, God's provided surplus. God's provided us to be able to continue to make ends meet. But Berkeley Baptist Church down in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, they send work crews up occasionally. Surprisingly, right before all of this happened, they said, hey, you know what? We've got two really nice bathroom vanities that we'd like to donate. And so if you go downstairs, you'll notice there's these two really nice bathroom vanities. Well, it turns out we're probably going to have to actually gut the bathroom downstairs, at least one of them, possibly two of them. And so, which leads to this next image. How many of you guys know what this, picture is? Anybody? Shock absorbers, right? Right, it's a shock absorber. John, I'm disappointed. I was expecting you to throw that out there, man. You're like the guy that knows the answers, but you don't want to let people know you know. I'm fine. It's just to see if somebody else gets it. All right. All right. So this is a shock absorber. All right. And so for 5 years, the Grove has been blessed. We started out with four pastors. We still have three. And we have a team of people that have been around kind of supporting things. But one of the things that we have done is for the last four plus years, one of the primary shock absorbers that the Grove has been your pastors. And when you look at Scripture, when you look at what you see in the Bible, you see a church that seems to have another, I don't want to necessarily call it office, but another office, and it's called deacons. Okay? And what happens, what you see in the Bible is you see a group of people that love God, that are called by God, that are called to serve and to help the church function, to free the pastors up, to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer and care. We have not, in our existence to this point, officially pulled in or appointed deacons. And one of the things that the Grove is, that we really feel like, for the Grove to reflect what we see in the Bible of what a New Testament church is, we need to have deacons. And the deacons become like the first wave of shock absorbers, all right? It's people that carry the authority of the pastors to be able to see a problem and fix it and coordinate the people of the church to be able to help make ends meet, to help make sure that things are happening. We've not done that. And we believe that the Grove is at a point where we need to. If we're really going to accomplish what we believe God's called us to, it's going to mean that the Grove needs to mature some more. And that's going to mean that we need to find deacons. Now, what I see in the New Testament when it comes to deacons being appointed is it comes from the church. If you look in Acts 6, you see the church had a problem. They had people that weren't getting their needs met where other people were. And so it was creating tension, it was creating conflict. And so what you see is kind of this precursor to the appointment of deacons. And what happens is the apostles or the followers of Jesus say, hey, you know what? Look among you and then point out people that are full of the Spirit, that love God, that want to serve, are capable of serving, and then they went from that, the church called that out, in a sense, nominated, and then they were appointed into place. And so one of the things that we're going to ask you to do as a church is, as you're here, you're part of the family. Look for people in the family that are faithful, that are capable, and also are seeking the Spirit of God. And then, you know what? Talk to one of the pastors and say, hey, you know what? Have you guys thought about this person for a deacon role? Now, that doesn't mean that anybody's just, you don't be like, well, I'm going to nominate this person and they're going to be a deacon. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but what it does mean is all of a sudden you're helping us to focus our eyes and go, all right, let's talk with that person, because that person may go, yeah, I'm not really ready for that, all right? And that's okay. You know, we're still trying to figure this out, okay? That's the disadvantage of kind of being a church in puberty, is sometimes it's awkward. All right, we have the Bible, fortunately, that helps us lay out the pattern for what we should do. But it's still a process, okay? And so if you have people that you would think and go, hey, you know what, this person might be somebody that would be good to be kind of like that shock absorber and part of a servant of the church and helping us take care of things, then please talk with one of your pastors, okay? That also leads to another thing for us to mature, all right? If you have noticed, we have a family ministry department. Usually we have the nursery area, and we have more ministry partners in our family ministry than we've had to date, okay? It's actually thank you, all right? We're not scrambling as much as we normally are at this time of year. But we also still have some more needs in our family ministry. So if you're able to help or willing to help with our kids, that'd be great. But there's another area that is happening, and the transition is happening whether we wanted it to or not, all right? Because kids grow up. And when we started the Grove, there was like one or two teenagers that were here, all right? And it depended upon the week, all right? We had a lot of junior, like little older elementary age kids. Those kids are now entering into junior high, and as the church is growing, we're having more families arrive with teenagers, and that means that we would like to have a ministry in the lives of our students, okay? And that, so what we are praying for and working towards is this fall that the Grove will be launching a student ministry, okay? That's going to stretch us again. Okay, this wasn't something that we necessarily budgeted for, but we knew it was coming. All right, it's not something that we kind of have said, until God brings the right team together, all right, we're not going to do this. But the reality is that the need is here, and it's been here for a while, and so we need a team. Okay, and so as one of your pastors, one of my weaknesses is delegating and actually saying, this is what we need. So now, in this family meeting, I am telling you, this fall, by God's grace, we will be starting a student ministry, and we need a team of people that are willing to come and be part of the community that's working alongside of and living alongside of the students that we have here at the Grove. Okay? We're not sure what that's going to look like. It's probably not going to be a weekly meeting right off the bat, but we are going to start doing consistent, multiple times a month, where we're gathering and meeting with students and doing activities so that we can develop relationships with them, okay? It's really important. So if you have ever worked with students and swore that you would never do it again, if you have had children and said, I don't ever want to be around teenagers again, if you love kids and have been like, man, I love students, they're awesome, guess what? You might very well be the people that God is calling to help us minister to students, all right? And it's really, really important. And I've spoken with a couple of people. Allison Canepa, our intern, she's going to be one of the people that's helping us get this established. And there's several other adults that I've spoken with that have said, hey, you know what? I'm in. You know, and so we're trying to develop that team. So if you would say, hey, you know what, maybe that's me, pray about it, talk with me, because we want to get that team together and start shaping what this ministry is going to look like. Okay? That's really important. There's one other thing that I want to mention before we get to Pastor Mike. He's going to talk a little bit about a ministry we've talked about before called Here for a Reason. But that's this one. How many of you guys noticed this morning that the auditorium was pretty full? Okay, the auditorium was pretty full. We've consistently, this has been one of the things where we've seen God's provision and growth over the years, is that the church has continued to grow. We've had multiple weekends with over 100 people here in the last couple of months. It's not abnormal now for us to be here pretty much in the 80s and 90s on a weekend, if you keep our kids included. Now, here's one of the things that I started going back and doing some research on. A church congregation will typically stop growing when its seating hits 80% capacity, okay? That's 80 people for us on this level. When we hit 80 down here, people's perception are going to be that there's not space for me. The other thing that we find in this space is that we have all of these rooms up above where there is potential seating, but that's like an overflow in people's minds, and they're probably not going to go upstairs. We're trying to paint and repair and get the lights fixed up here so that space is a little more, you know, ready for people, but we're running into space issues. And if our growth trends continue, we're going to continue to run into them this fall when we typically see our numbers pick back up. And so that means that we need to figure out, how are we going to continue to do ministry here? Now, just so you know, we put a roof on and added air conditioning to this space because we believe God has called us to be a part of North Scranton. Okay? So we just got to be creative and solve some issues and some problems. And that's where the family has to be a part of this. Okay? Some of the options that we're looking at right now would be the potential to turn this auditorium into a multi-use space so that it's more useful for various things. We've hosted a simulcast here where we had, you know, the screens open, people in. It would have been really great to be able to put tables and chairs in here. If you've noticed, we're not doing as many meals at the Grove every other month because we're running into issues with space downstairs. And so we're trying to figure out what are the ways that we can utilize this space a little more often. Now, when this building was built in 1900, it didn't have pews. People brought their own chairs for the first 15 to 20 years. And then what I found is that we have these wonderful pews that have come in. And out of all the churches that I've preached in the Valley when I was doing pulpit supply before we started, the Grove has some pretty comfortable pews, I gotta tell you. They're a little creaky, you know, they show their age, but what doesn't when you're, you know, 90 years old? But one of the things that we're really praying about and considering is this, the potential of seeing the pews out and bringing in chairs. We have two pew chairs that are in the back that would be what we are looking at, and they're roughly right around $50 a chair. Now, we've, you know, in the same way that we had another church help us raise support for these flyers, we're trying to see if we can raise the support so that we're not buying chairs per se, but that we can have other people help us in this ministry, okay? But this is a challenge because one of the things that happens, one of the things that people love about the Grove is that they feel like, one, it feels like a church when you come in. And for whatever reason, pews help that, okay? They do. And so it's a challenge in one sense to go, how do we not lose what is an atmosphere people enjoy and feel like they can connect with God in, while still recognizing that if this ministry is going to continue to grow and be sustaining and supporting, we've got to figure out some seating issues, okay? And we also need to be able to figure out, because we need to be able to figure out how we can put more ministry into this building, okay? And so we're trying to solve problems and we're trying to be responsible. And we're trying to be sensitive and aware that what we do is going to shape people's perceptions here in this space. But we would like to see this place be utilized, this space in particular, be utilized more. And so if you have ideas, if you have ways that you can help us look at it or explore it, or if you have questions or concerns, please talk with us. Because maybe you have an idea or a concern that we haven't started to interact with. But we do believe that we can increase our seating capacity in here with chairs to 125 people pretty easily. Okay? And that would mean that we would be able to get to about 100 people just on the first floor before we would hit that 80%. Okay? And that is a factor that we're going to face. We still have the parking available for that because we have across the street and stuff. But then we need to also start exploring how do we make this space up above still more open and inviting for people to sit as well, okay? I really think that's about it, and I don't want to take a lot of time. So, Mike, if you want to come and talk about Here for a Reason, if you have questions or concerns about anything that we've talked about, please come and talk with us. I'm sure that there will be questions and concerns and, you know, issues, especially when you talk about altering a space. But please understand, the goal of this is to help us have a more effective ministry. Because the church is us. It's the people of God. It's not the building. But we also want to be a good steward of what God has provided and help this be a place where people continue to get to know who God is and continue to worship. And one of the other things I hear people say consistently is, man, I just feel so welcome when I come here. And I hear that more often than I hear this place feels like a church. You guys are one of the reasons, the people that call Grove home, is one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons why people connect here. And we want to just make that more effective and easy moving forward. Okay? Yes. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an option that we have of getting a kind of like a team of people that say, hey, you know what, we're gonna sit upstairs. And we're gonna have to figure it out, because when people have sat up there before, when we open it up, it's creaky, and it's like you walk up there, it's like you feel like you need a walker sometimes. You know, the building needs a walk, but we've got to solve it. And so if there's a group of people that say, hey, you know what, yeah, let's start sitting upstairs, we probably would need a group of people to help us finish off that space, though, before we really start pushing people up. But that would be, again, one of those things where we could really use some shock absorbers, some deacons in place to help make sure things are happening, to be able to get this facility into the place, to get the ministries that we're trying to do running effectively. Sorry about that.
Okay. I'll do this in about 3 minutes. We'll see. We'll see if it works. All right, how many of you guys were around when we did food packaging last year? Okay, so about a quarter of the group. We packaged 20,000 meals last year as the Grove Church, partnering with another group that brings food into areas that are at risk for food insecurity. That's one of the outreach things that we've done as a church. The others have been, last Christmas, we did what we called our Christmas party with a purpose. Anyone around for that one? Remember that one? All right, a few of you are around for that one. We put together 75 care packages for the homeless that were handed out from the Scranton Rescue Mission. The year before that, or a year and a half before that, we packaged 10,000 meals. We do the block party every year. We did our fifth block party. I'm bringing all of these up because these are all areas where we, as the Grove Church, have demonstrated that we want to make a difference in the community, that we actually are here for a reason. We are here to make things better in Scranton, not just to be a church that meets on a Sunday morning. What we have found in trying to raise money for those events is that there's a certain stigma attached to churches that are trying to go out into the community and raise money for the community. Namely, businesses don't want to give money to churches. One of the reasons is because if you go to a large business and they start giving money to one church, then it's like, well, that denomination, well, what if we give money to this denomination? And then there's a lot of conflict that comes from giving to religious organizations, especially in the business community. And then we don't even talk about federal grants and state grants, things like that. So what we have found is we could more effectively reach the community and do outreach and community advocacy type of events if we formed a different organization that wasn't necessarily tied to a church. So if we created a nonprofit organization that was based on community advocacy, then we could start pursuing financial support outside of individuals, which individuals primarily are the ones who funded all of our outreach events. So we've decided Here for a Reason is that organization. Here for a Reason is a community advocacy organization that will be loosely connected with the Grove, because people of the Grove started it and will be pursuing those events, but it will not necessarily be attached to the Grove Church. It's not going to be a church ministry. That way we can maintain some separation and pursue federal and state and local funding that would allow us to operate in the community and advocate for the community, but not necessarily be a church-based organization. Our first goal is to provide 50,000 meals, package and provide 50,000 meals for the people of Scranton. Scranton is one of the top regions in the country where children are at risk for food insecurity. I think it's 85%, something, it's the high 80s. 85% of the kids in the school district of Scranton qualify for half or free school lunches, which places them at that level. The school that's right up the street here, it's over 90%. I think it's closer to 95% of the kids there. So we live in a region that needs this, and we've provided over the last few years, we've provided 30,000 meals for those families. And we want to continue to do that on a larger basis, on a bigger scale. But in order to do that, we're going to need this organization outside of the church to be able to pursue larger donations. We also have other goals. There are different things. We'd like to see community events happening around the city. We'd like to see some recovery programs. We'd like to look at what Clean and Sober might be able to partner with Here for a Reason and how we could take that message out. We've talked about many other things that are kind of in the future. My brain always goes 5 to 10 years away, and I forget about what has to happen next month. So here's what has to happen. We've already applied for, we've already sent in our articles of incorporation. So Here for a Reason is being recognized as a nonprofit charitable organization by the state of Pennsylvania. Our first board meeting will be happening in about 10 minutes. Once that board meeting is done, we will then adopt the bylaws of the organization and we'll be able to apply, put our application in for nonprofit status. That'll probably happen within the next couple of weeks. After that, we'll be able to start raising money for the organization of Here for a Reason. We don't have to wait for the approval to come back. As long as you have pending approval, then it's okay to start raising money for that. So we just want to bring that up to you guys because as we move forward, you're going to hear more and more about what Here for a Reason is. You're going to hear more and more about events that may be happening through the name Here for a Reason. And as you guys want to be involved in that, if you want to become part of the leadership of that, or if you want to say, here's a project that I'm really passionate about, maybe I can move in that direction. Everything that happens with Here for a Reason, you guys will know about first because you're the body that has helped to raise this up. So talk to me about it, any questions that you guys might have, anything that you might want to suggest or opportunities that you might want to pursue, go ahead and talk to me about it, but we'll be continuing to keep you updated on how this goes.
Those of you that don't know, Mike is not wired for filling out legal paperwork, and yet he has done an excellent job in helping to get Here for a Reason legally recognized. And so I'm really grateful that one, he did it and not me. All right. So, but beyond that, this has been a part of Mike's passion to see the church in roles of advocacy here in our community, and so. Getting a chance to see him pursuing and providing leadership for Here for a Reason has been really encouraging. And so with that, we're 8 minutes over, and so I want to pray and let you guys go eat. But thank you so much for being here today. If you have questions, please let me know. If you have concerns, please let me know. Because, again, like I said at the beginning, we are not here to just set the agenda. We are here to pray and listen to what we think God is doing and provide leadership, but that also means we need to be listeners. Okay? So please, if you got questions or concerns or excited or nervous, please come talk with me, okay? Or Mike or Jeremy, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the family that's with us here and for the parts of our family that are away. God, I'd ask that you would continue to allow us as your people here that worship at the Grove, that we would be sensitive to hear your voice, to figure out what it takes for us to be on your mission, to be the people that you have called to reach those that are far from you. God, I'd ask for continued wisdom and skill in hearing where your Spirit is leading us, and that you would allow us to have courage when we feel like you are leading us in a direction that's scary, and yet also, Lord, that we would that we'd be men and women that listen and hear your voice and have confidence in you because you're a great God. So thank you for this family. Thank you that we get to be a part of it. Lord, I'm grateful for that. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, who makes it all possible. Amen. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you around.